Amen, Brenda. God bless you. Thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. What is the key to godly living? What is the key to godly living? If you're a guest with us this morning, we are studying God's Word, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, specifically Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. If you're wanting to know more of the context and the background and the history, I would direct your attention to Acts chapter 16. But we have come to Philippians chapter 4, and today, verses 8 and 9, asking the question, what is the key to godly living? If you were here last Sunday morning, as we considered this letter of love, this letter of joy from Paul to the Philippian church, you'll remember that we talked about when adversity strikes. When adversity strikes, what do we do as the body of Christ? And remember, the body of Christ is not immune from adversity. Every person in the room is either in the middle of adversity, just came out of adversity, about to be in adversity. Adversity is a part of life. How, though, do we respond as followers of Christ? If you'll remember, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Make a conscious decision to remember who you are in Christ in spite of your adversity. And also relax. Be anxious for nothing, because Jesus Christ is coming again. And brothers and sisters, he's closer today than he was yesterday. And if you're a follower of Christ, the adversity of this life is the worst that life will ever be. Understanding and thinking about the eternity promised for us in heaven. And then in the midst of that adversity, don't forget to make your request known unto the Lord. In everything, the big and the small, and everything in between, in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. That's what we should do when adversity strikes. Well, Paul answers another question this morning. What is the key to godly living? We're just going to go ahead and understand what his answer is this morning. And then we'll see it again in the text. But the answer to the question, what is the key to godly living? Godly thinking. Godly thinking. You see, what Paul is going to suggest to us is that right thinking leads to righteous living. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, is Brother Richard going to share a sermon this morning on positive thinking? Well, not quite. See, the world certainly has this idea of positive thinking, the secular world, that if I think this way enough, that I can determine the outcome of others. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. And I would even tell you that's silly. That's foolishness. regardless of what I think and my sincerity in thinking, my thinking cannot control anyone else. But I'll tell you what my thinking can do. My thinking can control me. And so when we talk about positive thinking this morning, we're not talking about thinking in such a way that you can control others. We're talking about thinking in such a way that you, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, control yourself. So please understand the distinction between the two. The secular world has understood this in their own way for a number of years. Do you remember the acronym GIGO or GIGO? If you think back to the computer programming days of the 70s and 80s, garbage in equals what? Garbage out. Well, long before GIGO, there was Solomon and Jesus. Listen to what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. What comes out of a man? That defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. See, Solomon understood. Jesus understood and taught and modeled that the key to godly living is godly thinking. Right thinking leads to righteous living. And we're going to see that this morning in our text, just two verses. If you have found Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, would you stand in honor of God's word this morning? Follow along in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the body of Christ coming together on the Lord's day to hear from your word. Speak to us now in these next few moments. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The key to godly living is godly thinking, and that's what you find there at the end of verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul said, meditate on these things. Your translation may say think or dwell. The idea is to consider a truth, contemplate it, and then apply it to your life so that it affects your behavior. Consider a truth, but then contemplate, think about it for an extended period of time, meditate on it, dwell on it, and then let that truth, and we're talking specifically about the Word of God, affect your behavior, because right thinking leads to righteous living. So meditate on what is praiseworthy. If you're thinking about the context of Philippians 4, rather than worry, rather than anxiety, meditate on what is praiseworthy. Well, then he gives 6 adjectives. And let's think about them this morning together there in verse 8. 6 adjectives of what we are to think on, what we are to think about. And so think about this morning, this question: what occupies your mind? What are you thinking about regularly? What conversations are you having in your head this morning, yesterday, this past week? Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things. And notice that whatever things, we're not talking about one specific thing or even 6 specific things. Because that phrase, whatever things, plural, on 6 different occasions, Paul's recognizing that there are multiple things that are true and multiple things that are noble and just, etc. But again, what's the key to godly living? Godly thinking. Not about how you can control others and how you can control the situation and you can manipulate things in your favor, but how you can control you under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So, number one, whatever things are true, as opposed to false. Whatever things are true and not false. And can we just all agree this morning that a lot of things that we see on Facebook and a lot of things that we see on Instagram are not true? They're embellished, they're exaggerated, they're told half-truth, or in the world of pictures, they're airbrushed. Whatever things are true, dwell on those things. Secondly, whatever things are noble. Your translation may say, worthy of respect. And if we're thinking about the things that we think about or the things that come into our hearts or into our minds, if we say that about Facebook and we say that about Instagram, then we could also honestly say that about television and movies and song lyrics. And I'm not saying or trying to prohibit any and all, but think about, what are you allowing into your heart and to your mind? Is that television? Is that movie? Are those song lyrics noble, worthy of respect? Number 3, whatever things are just, whatever things are fair. How many times do we replay in our minds again and again and again how we think we were treated unfairly? I kid you not, the Lord, He is so good. As I was driving home last night, well past my bedtime, from a basketball game, and the temptation was to think again and again and again how if a referee had made a different call, knowing full well this was the text this morning and the application for Brother Richard. Don't think about and dwell on and meditate and replay again and again and again how you think you were treated unfairly by a referee or treated unfairly by your boss or supervisor or the way that your spouse spoke to you. And if you had to do it all over again, here's what you would say in response. And we have this conversation back and forth. Paul says, whatever things are just, meditate on those things. Whatever things are fair, let those things occupy your mind and your thoughts over and over and over again. Number four, whatever things are pure. And the idea here is sexual purity. And really speaking to this issue of lust and the temptation, particularly for those of us who are married, to think about how our lives would be different if we were married to A rather than B. Paul says, don't think about that. Don't give in to that temptation. Don't let your mind meditate and dwell and be preoccupied, but rather meditate on what is pure. Meditate on what is holy. Meditate on how good your marriage can be if you control yourself. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. Number five, whatever things are lovely. Lovely is carrying the idea of whatever things lead to peace as opposed to conflict. And so, of course, that has application personally. It has application in our world today. It's certainly easy with the 24-hour news cycle for us to think about the lack of peace in Ukraine and the lack of peace in Israel and let that flood our minds and we play it over and over and over again. And Paul says, meditate, think about what is lovely. And then number six, whatever things are of good report. So often we are prone, again, to dwell on the negative. We eat at 1,000 different restaurants and have 1,000 different meals, and the one that is on the tip of our tongue that we're ready to share is our poorly cooked steak and our lack of service. We keep it just right there on our mental Rolodex to bring it up at a moment's notice. Paul said, dwell, think, meditate on the things that are of good report. Brothers and sisters, Emory Baptist Church has plenty of weaknesses, plenty of shortcomings, but dwell on her strengths. Dwell on what is good. Raines ISD certainly could do better, but think on their strengths. Think on the good that comes within our school district and because of our teachers. It's real easy to just be overwhelmed and consumed today. Oh, I can't wait till the next election. And we have a long list of the problems with this presidential administration. Paul says, think of the things that are of good report. Think of the positive. Think of the strengths recently think about how the United States has stood with Ukraine, how the United States has supported Israel, rather than all of the things that you would change about this current administration or your hope for the next administration. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let those things preoccupy your mind. Think about them again and again and again and again, because the key to godly living is godly thinking. And right thinking leads to righteous living. Certainly, Jesus had this in mind in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Listen to verses 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, you shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And then look down at verse 27. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For if it is more profitable for you that the one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Jesus understood the value and the virtue of godly thinking. Not to control others, but to control yourself. Because godly thinking is the key to godly living, and right thinking leads to righteous living. So Paul's encouragement is to meditate on the praiseworthy. But he gives one more instruction there in verse 9. It says, the things which you learned and received. Paul had this teaching ministry there with the church at Philippi. I referenced Acts chapter 16 a moment ago. Paul had planted this church. He had led individuals to faith in Christ. He was a friend of the church. The church considered his counsel. And he had taught them. And so he says in verse 9, the things which you learned. The doctrine that I taught you, the ethics that I taught you, the convictions that I taught you, the things which you learned and received, but not also did he teach them, but he also modeled for them. The things that you heard and you saw, you experienced firsthand. You heard with your ears, you saw with your eyes, Paul's example. So the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, then look at these two words there in the middle of verse 9, these do. Not only does Paul encourage us this morning to meditate on what is praiseworthy, but the encouragement is also to imitate the Apostle Paul. Now, let's be of the same mind this morning and understand what I mean. The Apostle Paul is a human. A fallible human. And Apostle Paul would always be capable of disappointment. Your pastor would always be capable of disappointment. And I personally falling short on multiple occasions. Or our deacons or our Sunday school teachers or our committee members. So So please understand, we're not saying this morning to completely follow man and woman, because we all know that men and women are fallible, and we don't want to be disappointed. But remember this qualifier that Paul gave to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And so as Paul is following Christ, then by all means, imitate him. As your pastor and staff are following Christ, then by all means, imitate them. As our deacons and Sunday school teachers and leaders in our congregation are following Christ, then by all means, imitate them. But make sure that they're following Christ. Make sure that they are imitating Christ. Paul said, meditate on that which is praiseworthy. Imitate the apostle Paul. And then at the end of verse 9, there is a promise. And the God of peace will be with you. So remember last week we're talking about adversity. What do we do? Rejoice in the Lord. Anxious for nothing. Make our requests made known unto the Lord. Now today we add to it godly thinking leading to godly living, right thinking leading to righteous living. And then in the midst of our adversity, who is there walking with us side by side, even carrying us along the way? The God of peace. The God of peace who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. So let me give you two invitations this morning. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are a brother or sister in the Lord, let me invite you this morning to recommit your ways to godly thinking. Again, not to control your boss, not to control your spouse, not thinking some way, somehow, you're going to manipulate your neighbors that frustrate you or your children who won't mind. That's not what we're talking about. But recommit yourself to right thinking that leads to righteous living. And here's just a very specific example. Let me encourage you. Some of you do this already. This is something that I do. I've shared it with you before. Let me encourage you, because all of these six adjectives, they absolutely, positively can be found and true of God's Word. Amen? And so let me encourage you, if you don't do this particular spiritual discipline already, let me encourage you to read 5 Psalms every day. 5 Psalms every day. Well, Brother Richard, how do I know which ones to read? Do I just open up my Bible? No. I mean, you can, that's fine. But let me encourage you to read 5 Psalms according to the day of the month. So today is November the 19th. And I multiplied 19 times 5 in my head, and that equals 95. And so then I go 5 back. And so this morning I read Psalms 91, 92, 93, 94, 95. And tomorrow, on November the 20th, 20 times 5, Psalm 100. So tomorrow, I'm going to read Psalms 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. And on the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, et cetera, et cetera. The first day of the month, you're reading Psalms 1 through 5. So whether you do that first thing in the morning, whether you do that on your lunch break, whether you do it the last thing before you go to bed at night, then you absolutely, positively are trying to get your mind right and meditating on the praiseworthy. So I would invite you to do that if you're not already doing that. If you're here this morning, second part of my invitation, if you're here this morning and everything that I've talked about is totally foreign, you don't have any idea what I'm saying when I'm saying the God of peace or anything like that, it may be because you're not at peace with God. You've never put your faith and trust in Christ. You've never admitted that you're a sinner. You've never admitted that you need a Savior. And you can't be saved by your money, and you can't be saved by your morality, and you can't be saved because of whose family you are. The only Savior is Jesus Christ. And today, my invitation would be for you put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. To call on the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, to save you from your sin. And when we admit that we are sinners and we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, and we call upon Him to save us, then the peace of God comes into our lives so that we are then at peace with God. And if you have never made that personal decision, I want to invite you this morning. In just a moment after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium, and I'll be here at the front, Brother Ronnie will be here at the front, and we would love to welcome you today into the body of Christ. We'd love to help you in that process of putting your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. And so as odd as that may seem, you can step out on one of these aisles, you can make your way to the front, say something like, today I want to be saved. Today I want to be at peace with God. We would rejoice with you and celebrate with you and counsel with you and pray with you. Maybe you're a guest this morning and you feel that Emory Baptist Church is where the Holy Spirit is leading you and your family to formally and officially unite in church membership. We'd love to welcome you today. Maybe you're a brother or sister in Christ and you just need to simply come to the front this morning to pray. God has convicted you about all of the negative, unholy, unrighteous thinking that's going on up here. The key to godly living is godly thinking. Right thinking leads to righteous living. Brothers and sisters, may we be found faithful this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Again, after I finish praying, I will invite you to stand to your feet. Brother Chris will come to lead us in a very familiar song. And we would invite you to respond publicly today to God's word preached publicly this morning. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you that your word challenges us to meditate on what is praiseworthy. With so many things filling our mind, with so many things filling our heart, Lord, let us dwell on that which is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And Father, let us not just think, but think in such a way that that right thinking inspires and leads us to righteous living. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be at work in hearts and lives all across the room this morning, convicting of sin, comforting, training in righteousness. And thank you for meeting us today around your word. We ask and pray this morning in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front to welcome you. You come today on the very first stand.